This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
Well, Sims is already starting with the notes again this week. It's just unbelievable what this guy does. He's a great writer, and so are the people up there in ad sales. The High School Football Show on 98.7 ESPN is presented by All-American Ford in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Call or shop online at allamericanford.net. Now, Sims, I'm reading a little article by Darren Cooper today in Varsity Aces, and little did I know that—
I had no idea what you're talking about.
That— Unbeknownst to me, you are a football coach at Don Bosco?
I got to say, Michael, you've done a great job. You've kept the secret as long as any person I've told the secret to in my entire life. So thank you so much.
It is funny. I'm glad it's out because we get a lot of these coaches calling me.
Now
like,
we can
right,
talk about it freely.
What is Sims doing? I'm starting to see a little bit of Matt Sims up there at Don Bosco, the blueprint on that football
team.
We'll get to that game. Big win for you guys, as I can now you guys last night because you're part of the staff.
And I guess we didn't say it earlier in the show just because earlier this season, excuse me.
Yeah, we're 1 minute in.
But it's because I didn't want to come across as biased, to the Don Bosco and all that stuff. So that's why I never picked any of the games. I still will not pick any of the games.
And in all seriousness, and I've talked to some people about that, you have done an unbelievable job just being a fan of football, breaking down everybody. You're fair. You're tough when you have to be, both Bosco and anybody else.
No doubt. And I remind you that you don't really know that much about football.
That's true. That's what all the Sims people do. They always tell everybody how much they don't know about football.
Listen, we're nice people, okay?
Sims, it's unbelievable. Bergen Catholic alumni golf outing. Hey, Mike, you want to come play in it? I didn't even go there. Dr. Mahoney, Brian Mahoney, says, hey, Mike, come out and be my guest.
They actually asked me if they want me to take over your job with the show that you do.
Oh, yeah. The War Room.
Yeah.
Highly acclaimed. Really.
Highly acclaimed.
They actually put it out
Emmy
for free.
Award winning.
You know who's into the show? Rob Stern from St. Joe's.
Well, yeah.
Stern watches all this
stuff. Yeah, I was going to say, he loves all that.
But, Sims, I may have made a bit of a faux pas in this golf outing the other day over at the Rivervale Country Club.
Right.
Beautiful place. So we're playing with the former chairman of Bergen Catholic, Bob Corley.
Okay.
And Tim McGee, graduate structure tone guy. And of course, they come out, they want to throw a couple shackles on the game. And I'm like, I'm in. I did not realize that I had bet $5 million for free land tech work at Bergen Catholic.
Unbelievable.
That kind of snuck in. And at the end, I realized, I better get out of that because we lost. Mahoney struggled mightily. I was on my game, as always, through two holes. We stopped after 14. So I said, guys, can we put the $3 million aside? And I just mentioned on the show that you beat us. Is that good? So, yeah, Corley and McGee, you won. You beat us. Mahoney still struggling, but I
mean,
love him.
That's like got to be breaking some sort of rule there. You know, we're betting $5 million on Land Tech Fields at a golf outing.
What kind of organization is this? I did not realize. I thought it was a joke until afterwards. I was like, all right, I'm just going to mention you guys on the show. You good?
Catholic high schools and money is never a joke.
Yeah. Great outing, though. Seriously, a lot of fun. Cigar night after. So I had a cigar with two frescas. It was a wonderful night. So it was really good. Here we go, Monty. Give me some fun music here. Stat of last weekend, Sims.
Yeah.
You know me. I'm trying to find everything. You can only get to so many games, but I like to read a lot.
Of course.
The stat of the weekend. The fourth quarter of the Stepanak-St. Anthony's game last week was sensational. Three lead changes. Crusaders of Stepanak come back to win. Big game, because now they're in the driver's seat for second place behind Iona. Unless Cardinal Hayes goes up to New Rochelle today, where I'll be going, and I'm going to pick that game later. Stat of the week. Guess what Stepanak was on third down last week against St. Anthony's?
9 for 12.
9 for 12. Pretty good. Are you going to stick with that?
Yeah, sure.
They were 0 for 7, Sims. Okay. All right.
Guess how were they on fourth down?
Take a guess.
5 for 5.
6 for 6.
All right. There you go.
Now, that is a stat of the week. You ain't getting that on the Michael Kay show.
No, that's pretty impressive.
You know, and backup quarterback Will Currid. I like him. Freshman a year ago. He's a sophomore now, obviously. You go up in years.
Yeah.
Very tough. Came in off the bench and played very well. They come back to win that game 40 to 36. Later in the show,
we're focusing on third down this week.
Third down efficiency.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you don't make it,
let's see what's
it.
Working for us. Nothing.
Last week we did the best players I've ever seen with these eyes, and it caught a lot of buzz, a lot of people talking about it. Today, we're going to go with the best quarterback we've seen, and then you're going to break down a bunch of people that you work with for the Sims Complete QB. Both, you're going to pick one class.
Well, yeah, we're just going to list, you know, a group. Yeah, whether it's
what do you have, 79 guys now?
I just ripped through a list really quickly off the top of my head, and I got through 80 kids.
Okay.
80 kids, yeah. Eighth grade, college, and high school.
You like playing on grass or turf better?
I prefer all natural grass there.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
There
Absolutely.
Is a huge controversy.
And I think it's safer too as well.
Grass.
Yes.
You know, Lantech actually does more grass than turf.
I know. And I remember you saying that last year, and I was really impressive with that.
Which
is great.
We do it all, Sims.
Yeah,
I know. We're out there. Whatever you need, we can do it. There's a big controversy out in Suffolk County today. This is a game I will pick later in the show.
Okay.
Sal Champy, the longtime coach of East Islip, Boomer's old high school, and somehow he's involved in this now. He's complaining that Sayville traditionally plays their homecoming game on the grass field.
Right.
He says it's not fair. He doesn't like it because he thinks the grass will neutralize their speed. Hey, man, you're the home team. You do what you want. We'll pick the game later.
I mean, if you're fast, you're fast. I don't care what surface it is.
There you go, Sims.
Okay, but that's just me.
I'd worry more about the golden flashes than the green grass. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Pick coming later. Monty, hit me with some Bosco Tough Guy music. St. John's Prep, 6-0. Seton Hall Prep, 5-1. Bergen Catholic, 6-0. You add that up, Sims, what's it come out to?
17-1.
My man, they teach good math up there at Bosco.
I totally guessed.
17-1 are the three combined records of the teams that you've lost to.
Right.
Don Bosco, Coach Sims, that you've lost to. You are now on a three-game win streak. You've come to the other side of the Mendoza line. You're 4-3 now after victories against Seton Hall Prep, Del Barton, where I was at that game last Saturday.
We lost to Seton Hall Prep.
Not Seton Hall Prep, St. Peter's Prep.
Yes,
I'm
okay.
Sorry. Thank
All right.
God you're on the staff.
No worries.
And then DePaul. I thought, first time I watched you guys play last week against Del Barton, I saw some identity there of a team that wasn't ailing.
Yeah, I think the most exciting thing is that going through some of these early battles that we were discussing with the difference between teams like Don Bosco versus teams like St. Peter's. St. Peter's taking the easy route to get into the season. Bosco being just burned through the fire of just unbelievable trials with some of these more difficult teams early on. And it's paying off. It really is. It's paying off. We won a really tough, gritty game last night that was not easy.
Yeah.
First half, I would say that we completely dominated the game.
You look great in the first half.
Second half,
you were
we
awful.
Were holding on for dear life. And you know what? Hey, I said to everybody at the end of the game, that's what great teams do. They hold on and they win tough, gritty games. And I was really proud of our guys for, you know, straining for the whole 48 minutes of the game.
Win's a win, Sims.
No doubt.
Now, I was not charting the game play by play, but I'm just going to say this. I'm going to guess that total offense for Don Bosco in the second half last night was minus 50.
Totally, totally. And, you know, I don't know. I guess DePaul's defense.
They're great.
Their defense is, they played fantastic in the second half. They definitely had answers for the stuff that we were doing the first half, right? And also, too, just, you know, played maybe a little bit tougher and sharper than we did.
Mm-hmm.
The disappointing, I think, though, is the fact that, like, the discrepancy of, like, the penalties in the second half. Not to make it, like, about the refs. But, like, you're telling me that, like, there was a 10-1 difference in penalties.
A couple strange calls last night.
A little. And not only that, but it's, like, seemed to come from their sideline a lot, you know. And I'm not saying, like, you know. Hey,
Well, you guys did throw a screen pass. And somehow, when it was snap, throw, you had an illegal lineman downfield. That guy should be on the track team. How do you get that? It's impossible.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they're, you know, especially too with this RPO world that we live in, you know, you could say that about almost every play. And it's something I tell you all the time too as well. There's a penalty on every play in football. I just found it amazing that, you know, we lost the penalty battle in the second half that egregiously.
Final score, Don Bosco 17, DePaul 14. Be careful, Sims. Some of your guys are yelling out, "We want Bergen Catholic" after the game. There's a long way to go before you have a potential rematch.
No doubt. Let's
with
just
Bergen
play
Catholic.
Joe's.
Yep,
yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, that's the deal. I thought when you go back and look at this game, I don't know if you remember this, but Kair Price He doesn't tackle people. He causes car crashes.
Right,
like,
right.
You could close your eyes, and you know that was number five on the tackle.
Yeah.
But I thought, now I want you to go back and think of this. Minicucci goes back to pass. It's third down.
Yeah.
Price is all over him, and he tries to double WWE him to the ground.
Right.
He had him. Nick broke out of it. Got away, incomplete pass, but it saved distance. You kick a field goal, it gets called back. They jump off sides.
Right.
You come down, those 3 points, if Price makes that play, and again, I'm being so critical here, I love him as a player. I think he's definitely the second best player in the Tri-State behind DJ Samuels. If he makes that tackle, it's a different game, because in the second half, he, along with all of his buddies, were all over the place. Earl Nevin, 15 everywhere. Shane, can't read my notes here. Number 51, defensive tackle, he was everywhere. Patrick Kiefer, number 8, was everywhere. Number 44, Lucas Young, they were everywhere. Like, no matter what you did, they had an answer for it. You hang on to win. I loved the play call at the end of the half, the double pass. You've been holding it for a while?
Yeah, that was great. That was Coach Sabella all the way, too, with that call. That was awesome. Yeah, we've been practicing it for multiple weeks now, and it was a perfect time to call it, and it was a huge difference in the game for us.
You were up 17-6 with 20 seconds left in the half on that play, and then all the mojo just evaporates. But again, you survive in advance. You
hang on.
Right now, I would say, and they're going to reseed the parochial A&B playoffs.
Right.
It's not done like the Publix.
Yep.
I say right now, it's amazing to think this, because 3 weeks ago, you're probably sitting at an 8-9. Right now, you're a 3. And the key right now, if Bergen wins out, the key is to stay out of that 4-5 game.
For sure.
You don't want the 4-5. You do not want the 8-9.
Don't want to play Bergen in the first round. The other thing is, too, is that, you know, again, it's the great thing about our season so far, we beat the number 2 team in the state 2 times in 1 year.
Yep.
Right. So St. Peter's was there. We
beat them. Don't go crazy about that, because here's the thing.
I don't care.
There's no real number 2 team yet.
I agree.
Okay?
I totally agree. But I'm just saying that that's how it is.
Okay.
Right. And nonetheless, the opponents that came in, we beat them and we won in tough games.
AJ Rodriguez, the quarterback, he's a battler. He's
he
a grinder.
Tough.
He plays tough. Comes down, ball deflected at the end of the game. They're about to score.
Yeah.
And you're a big Nick Severine fan. He gets the deflected pass on the one and saves the night.
Yeah, Nick Severine again with a huge pick. Had a huge pick against Iona early in the game, too. That kind of changed the tide for us defensively. So, him, Timmy Hinspeeder, you know, on defense, just unbelievable how good of a player he is.
Going to Navy.
He has double the amount of tackles than any other player on the team, which is ridiculous. And I think he's the team leader in sacks, too, as well, with like 6.
That one sack, he was shot out of a Navy cannon last night.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he, you know, I
came
thought
off
he killed
the end
him
of a battleship.
It was unbelievable.
Oh,
it really was.
God.
Over here, over there, Timmy Hinspeeder.
Sims, here's what I want to say. And I was standing with Tommy McGuire. We love him in the end zone.
No doubt.
And his son, an unbelievable special teams kid. And I'm glad I thought maybe he hurt his knee again last night. He cramped up. He was back in the game. So that was very good. That game last night for DePaul, because they don't play in the big boy postseason.
Yeah, it was everything.
That was a championship game for them. It was. And this is
well,
the
you
thing.
Saw that in the second half from them.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No question.
But sorry to cut you off.
No, because here's the thing, Sims. And I'm just going to throw these names out. We'll get to Red Bank Catholic in a second. They had a big win last night. St. Joe's Hamilton, Immaculata, Holy Spirit, St. Thomas Aquinas, Hudson Catholic, Morristown Beard, Dean DeNoble's squad over there at Morris Catholic. Nothing against those guys, but if DePaul is going on to win a Parochial B championship, it's not like playing Bergen, it's not like playing Joe's, it's not like playing St. Peter's.
Who was the best matchup for them to meet in the championship between those teams?
It would have to be Red Bank Catholic.
Red Bank, yeah.
Red Bank Catholic. We'll get to them in a bit. They played great last night against a very good public school team, Rumson. They won the game 21-14. So it's just a shame. I think as the year goes on, we need to talk about how parochial A and B can do it. Forget about school size. It's the size of your heart and how much you want to compete, and that's how they should see those teams. We'll do that right the week, you know, going into the playoffs.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And now, Monty, if you could just stop that music for a second. We lost a terrific guy on Tuesday. Steve G. Gregorio, the all-time winningest coach at Nutley High School in New Jersey, a football guy's football guy, a terrific coach. You've known him forever.
Absolutely.
As great a coach, he's a better person. Gone way too young, lost his battle with cancer at 60 years old. Your thoughts about Coach?
You know, we talk about it all the time on this show, just how this is about, you know, coaching and the influence of young men and young people in our society and in our culture. And he's one of the special ones. And it's really disappointing that, you know, we lost someone that special.
Well, heaven's getting a coach on a 6-game winning streak, because last year in that COVID shortened season, they went perfect for the first time in the great history of Nutley football since 1929. Coach DiGregorio, our friend, a friend to many, a great mentor for great young men all around high school and college football. Rest in peace, my friend.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
Spectrum Mobile has the most reliable service coast to coast. Nationwide 5G is included with every plan and the fastest overall speeds. Switch and you could save up to 40%. Visit SpectrumMobile.com today. I'm struggling here with the mic on and off. Monty, you know who wasn't struggling? The Jets Gatorade Player of the Week. Hit me, buddy. Here we go. Each week during the high school football season, the Jets and Gatorade will honor a Player of the Week. The player will receive a $1,000 donation from the Jets and Gatorade in their name to support their high school football program. And this week's winner, let's go out to Hackensack High School. And Sims, you know this. They have had great running backs through the years, but nobody has ever done what the 5'10", 175-pound senior running back Curtis Whiting did last week in a 49-12 victory against Passaic. He carried the ball 14 times for 304 yards and a school record 7 touchdowns, Sims. 7. Next year, he will take his talents to Army. He only had 5 touchdowns coming in, and his dad is one of the great guys out there, Scooter Whiting, the athletic director. He's been a part of Hackensack his whole life. So congratulations to the Whiting family, and best of luck, and thank you so much for going up to Army next year and representing yourself, your school, and helping our country. Because I love those Army, no doubt. Like Hims Peter, going to Navy, Army. I love these
guys. Yeah, it's great. It's amazing, too, how every year we have a great list of kids that are going and doing this thing for our country. It's amazing. It really is. Just kudos to them. It's something I could never imagine doing.
Well, he scored 1 touchdown last night, and Hackensack fell. Our Jets coach of the week, we go down to the shore. Rumson High School, they named Jerry Schulte. He's a football guy, been around forever. Head coach at Matter Day through the years, Wall, Rumson. They beat Coltsneck last week, 21-6, and that's why the Jets named him the coach of the week. They didn't name the coach of the week because they beat Coltsneck. They named him the coach of the week because he's great for football. Old school, still wears the tie, the whole thing when he coaches.
That's great.
And so he gets the coach of the week, just like our coach of the week last week from the Jets. Next game out, Monty, music change. Here we go. Rip around to Tri-State, down the shore last night at Rumson High School. It was a good atmosphere at Bosco last night. Not great, good.
Right.
It sounds like the place to be if you're looking for atmosphere, down the shore, Rumson High School. Over 5,000 fans jammed in. They said they were 4-5 deep.
Woo.
Both the Star Ledger said it, the Asbury Park Press. So I'm double-checking all my facts here, okay? And you know what Red Bank Catholic didn't want to hear, Sims? They didn't want to hear about how great that Rumson defense was. They were sick and tired of it. Everybody going on and on and on about Rumson's defense. Had allowed 21 points all year. They didn't want to hear anything about it, because in the game they held that vaunted Rumson attack, rushing attack, to 40 total yards. They put 8 guys in the box, said, if you're going to beat us over the top. They couldn't. They win the game 21-14. Sabino Portella, he was 25 carries, 144 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Put the game-winning touchdown on the board late in the third. Torin Harmon, he got it going on a 48-yard touchdown run, made it 7-0. So, and then Red Bank Catholic held on. They got sloppy in the fourth quarter, turned the ball over twice, and then that defense just pushed, kind of like what DePaul did against Bosco last night.
Yeah.
They just pushed them the other way. They couldn't get into the end zone. So Red Bank Catholic goes to 7-0. Rumson falls to 5-1, 21-14 down the shore last night. All right, we rip it around to Tri-State, Sims. I know a week ago we didn't get a chance to talk about Jack Grusser. You love him, Ramapo High School. Hey, there's a little bit left. There's a little bit left in that old Ramapo-Wayne Hills rivalry.
Yeah, it's great.
Wayne Hills came in last night 2-4, made Ramapo work. Ramapo holds on to win 21-14, led 14-0. was at 14-7 when Ethan Moran had what would be the game-winning touchdown. Your boy Grusser ran one in from 40 yards. They win it 21-14.
And Grusser is just a fantastic football player. He's showing every week, too, as well, that he's a dual threat, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the state, you know, and it's not even close, honestly. Last week, he was 15-20 for 276 and two touchdowns and 14 carries for 201 yards and three TDs, and that's why I was trying to make him player of the week.
I know you tried. Right? You called me.
I mean, almost 500 yards of, like, total offense by one person is amazing, but super phenomenal athlete. Look forward to seeing him play. Look forward to seeing his younger brother, Patrick, play at DePaul here pretty soon, too, as well. Just good family, good players.
I wouldn't be surprised we see Patrick this week against Paramus Catholic getting some throws in that game.
Yeah, I mean, definitely some experience just in case, you know, that something happens in the playoffs, so he's ready to go. You know, the more snaps that he gets right now, the more prepared he'll be if something does happen where, you know, just in case. But, you know, great player, and he'll be ready to go.
Sims, what do you know about Woodbridge High School?
What do you mean? What do I know about Woodbridge? You're telling me?
No, yeah, Woodbridge.
Oh, Woodbridge. Not much.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you this. You know what I know? They ain't undefeated anymore. Last night, Cranford very quietly goes to 6-0. They beat them, the number 15 team in the state, 38-28. They have a huge offensive line, 290, 285, 275, 220, and I think they have a skinny guy like at 195 in there. Yeah. All right. But Colin Murray said, hey, I'm going to have the game of my life. And he did last night. He's a wrestler, only 145 pounds.
Yeah.
27 carries, 195 yards. That's a season high. Three touchdowns, including an electrifying. Read it in the paper. Couldn't find any highlights. I still say paper because I'm old, Sims.
Yeah, that's right.
That's like when we go to park in the morning and my credit card never works and you have the app. I'm like, what's that? A 57-yard electrifying run that iced the game. So Cranford now 6-0. They will get into the top 20 in the state of New Jersey next week. Let's go back down to the shore last night where Tommy Giannone, the 6'6 gunslinger for Middletown North, continued his spectacular year in the 24-21 come-from-behind victory against St. John Vianney. They trailed late in the game, 21-17. No big deal for Giannone because he has this 6'5 receiver, Zach Seawright. He connects four times with Seawright, including the game winner on a rollout, 2 yards, 57 seconds left. They come back to win it. In the game, Giannone, 25 of 36, a career high, 353 and three touchdowns. Seawright, six catches, 91 yards.
Man,
and of course,
day.
The game. I watched Giannone on tape this morning as I was getting ready for the show. He looks terrific. Has a good understanding of the game. Very calm, very relaxed back there when things are getting hectic. I like him a lot. You better look into him.
All right, sounds great.
All right, maybe we get him up here to Sims Complete, you know, before he heads off to college.
Would love that.
All right, let's go out to Westchester, Rockland County, Section 1, Class B. Ardsley last night, Sims. 345 yards of total offense to 189 for Pleasantville. Guess who won the game?
Pleasantville.
They did, Sims. You're good. 19-18. Danny Pickert, the sophomore, terrific in this game. Early fourth quarter, punt return for a touchdown. Then, reading what he's talking about in the paper, he thinks he's going to be the GOAT, gets called for pass interference late in the game. And then with just virtually no time left, atones for his error, interception on the goal line. They keep him out of the end zone. They go to 6-0. So there you go. They're going to be in a good spot going into the playoffs. But it just goes to show, man, stats are fun, but they don't mean doodly.
They don't mean anything.
And now, let's go out to Long Island. I'm into this Comac team.
Okay.
Now, they play Longwood today. If they take care of business today, it's going to set up a huge game next week with Walt Whitman. I'm going to give them the win. This is an off-the-board pick today. I'm going to give them the win against Longwood. They're going to go to 5-1. Walt Whitman is unbeaten. Comac's only loss this year is to William Floyd. They're the benchmark of Suffolk big boy football. Comac, very quietly, and they got dudes. I watched tape on this guy, Ryan Brady. Guy broke his arm last year, had a bad ankle, tough COVID season, didn't play a lot. Didn't whine, didn't cry, got in the weight room, got stronger, about 40 pounds stronger. He's a different-looking kid, 6 feet, 215, old school. He can run the ball, he can catch the ball, he can make tackles from his outline.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, what position does he play?
But
here's
the thing, Sims, you got to see this dude block.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's a road grader. Oh, he is a road grader. So I'm into him.
We love those guys.
And they have a good quarterback. Matt McGurk flies around, more of a runner than a thrower. And they have a big old 6'6 defensive end going to Stony Brook next year, Vinny Rotelli. So Comac, that could be – if Comac – they will win today. I'll be picking that game next week. So Brady and the Brady Bunch,
right?
They're looking good out there right now. When we come back, Mr. Sims,
we need more time.
I know. When we come back, we will break down what Sims Complete QB is all about, and the best seven high school quarterbacks I've ever seen. We'll do that. Are you on the list?
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
Spectrum Mobile has the most reliable service coast-to-coast nationwide. 5G is included with every plan and the fastest overall speed. Switch and you could save up to 40%. Visit SpectrumMobile.com today. I'm going to get to my next read in just a second. This is why I have so many facts checkers working for me. I must have said Curtis Whiting set a state record. It was a school record with the 7 touchdowns for Hackensack. So I appreciate all the smart people out there who are watching me. And of course, we want to thank All American Ford, because the high school football show on 98.7 ESPN is presented by All American Ford in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Call or shop online at allamericanford.net. Okay, Sims, the Sims Complete QB. Before we get to the best quarterbacks I've ever seen.
Okay.
You and your dad have a company, and it's how old now? Like 4 years?
Yeah, I guess 3.5, 4 years. Yeah.
What is it? Like the Sims Complete QB. What type of kids are you looking to get? What does it cost? What do they get out of it?
We're not looking to get any type of quarterback, or we're not recruiting people, right? We are really just guys that have played the game at an extremely high level. Mm-hmm. And we want to take all the lessons that we learned and pass them forward to the next generation. So we're coaches, we're mentors, we're guides, right? You know, emotionally, physically, you know, psychologically, like all of that.
I've watched it. You're tough, but you're funny too. You guys, the kids really love working with you.
Yeah, we, you know, and I try to have a good time with all the guys, right? Because, yeah, the sport of football, and then especially of quarterback, is the toughest in the world. Mm-hmm. It really is, right? It really is. So I try to make it where it's fun, it's engaging, it's mentally tough, but at the same time too, we're staying light, we're keeping it light, and we're focused on just getting better each and every day. And I really don't even care what the level of the kid is either. You know, if you want to be a great backup for your team, I got you. If you want to be the starter, I got you. If you want to be the best player in the state, I'll take care of you too as well. Now, with those comes a different level of commitment that I expect of you. I only charge $100, you know, for essentially the hour and a half. You know, I say it's an hour and a half session, and some of them turn into 2 hours or three, you know, just because it's fun. And my wife goes crazy when that happens. But it's something that we really enjoy doing. It's growing exponentially in a very short period of time. We don't really do many ads for it. We really don't push this out there like
you should.
Yeah, we definitely should. And it's something that, you know, I guess that goes against like my natural instincts as well as a person. I'm just not that way.
Yeah.
Even though I might come across a certain way on this show. But yeah, I mean, it's really gone well. And listen, I wrote down a list of the QBs and even players too that we've helped out.
You have 79 quarterbacks that you're working with right now,
I got a list of 80 kids right now. And I included some of like the tight ends and receivers and running backs that we put in there. And there's only like a handful of those kids because when they're there at the sessions, I'm coaching them too as well. I'm teaching them details that I learned from Julio Jones when I was with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
How to run across
and
the middle.
And you said he's a great dude, right?
Oh, my God. He's, like, one of the best people in the world. And for him, like, he literally would take time out of practice and be like, you know, hey, Matt, when I'm running this route, I'm thinking about this and this. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to turn my body to make the defender do this. You know, and it was great because he knew that I was always trying to learn anyway.
Yeah.
And he's just one of those football guys, too, that's like, all right, hey, I can have this conversation with him. So these guys are learning lessons from people that I've come across, like Julio Jones, at the receiver level. You know, the quarterbacks that I've been around, you know, Matt Ryans of the world, the Matt Schaubs of the world, right? And even too, my father, my brother, and the great coaches that I've had.
Sure.
You know, and now I've had a lot of bad coaches, and they've taught me as many lessons as well as the good coaches, which I try to tell my players.
Before you break down the list of kids that are in college right now that you're working with, how does somebody, if they want to go to Sims Complete, if they want to be one of the quarterbacks that gets trained by you and your dad, how do they find you?
Yeah, so they can go to Twitter, Instagram, Sims Complete QB. They can direct message me. You know, right now with the situation with obviously me coaching at Don Bosco, since that cat is out of the bag now. You know, I really have limited availability, you know?
Yeah.
So right now it really is like I only work on Sundays for Sims Complete QB just because Bosco and my 2-month-old is taking up a lot of my time
there
right
you
now.
Go.
But as soon as the winter comes along, you know, hey, we're going to hit the ground running and we'll get after it for sure.
All right, Monty, give me some music here. All right, Sims, break down the college players that you're working with right now.
So college list right now, Darius Wilson, Kyle McCord, Jack Cohen, Johnny Langan, Joe Carino, Brett Buckman, Gavin Sharkey, Dylan Classy, Charles DePrima, Charlie Brewer, Dylan Hale, Danny Sanchez, Luke Milano, Michael Jackson, Ben Rise, Andrew Butler, Austin Alberici, Andrew Bull, Ty Scherer, Ian Borgensen, Noah Baden, Jihad Edmond, Jake Tarantino, Frankie Savino, Jordan Sellers, Dario O'Brien, and Nick Patty.
Wow.
And these
I saw Butler's parents last night before the game. We had a great conversation.
Andrew's the best. I love Andrew.
Oh, they love you, too.
He's the man.
Like what
he
you
really
did for
is.
Him. He's at junior college right now,
he
right?
He is, yes.
So good for him.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude. I hope everything works out for him after JUCO. Because JUCO, I've been to JUCO, man. And, yeah, that's the real deal, Holyfield.
How many of the guys you just mentioned could potentially sniff the NFL at a quarterback position, a receiver position, just a ballparking, freewheeling?
You know, I think there's more here than people would think, you know, and what I mean by that is like, you know, practice squad, special teams players, like just to get into the league, you know, because maybe not all these guys are going to get drafted, but, you know, guys like Nick Patty, Darius Wilson, Kyle McCord, Jack Cohen, Johnny Langan, you know, to me, like off the top of my head with those guys that I'm looking at on this list, Charlie Brewer, like those are NFL football players, you know. Now, are they first round draft picks? Maybe not, you know, but they are football, you know, guys that can make it in the NFL. And then there's a few other players too, like even some of the receivers and the tight ends that I mentioned in that list as well. They're guys that can make it into the NFL as a special teams guy. And then, you know, when you're in it, you can grow and mature into another position, you know, like you see so many other NFL players do in today's game.
All right, Monty, music change. Here we go. This could get combative now because these are my quarterbacks,
it's
not
fine.
Yours. You do not know my list.
Yep. No, we
don't
didn't talk about it.
Look to see if you're on it, okay? If, you know, if you're not, then, you know, just deal with it,
that's
Sims.
That's fine. That's okay.
Okay?
That's
I can guarantee one Sims is going to be on it, and it ain't your dad.
That is messed up.
I didn't see him. I did see some footage of him playing his high school ball in Kentucky, broke every rule, throwing across his body, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That worked out pretty well for
him.
No,
it did. Did pretty well. Okay. Unbeknownst, and that's not the right term, I'm not going to go with. Yeah. Fooch is already texting.
Okay.
Rashard Casey has to be on the list. No. You're not. And by the way, Ed Stinson, feel better. Ed Stinson, Seton Hall Prep high school assistant coach, got hit the other day, a couple weeks ago on the sideline, broke six ribs. So steady, feel better, buddy.
Yeah.
I love Ed Stinson. But what I didn't love about Ed Stinson, he just ran the ball all the time.
right?
We had Rashard Casey, Mike Forsan one day before we went up to Penn State,
right?
So they're throwing and they're rolling around. He throws like four passes during a game, right? And we had him wired for sound to show what a good quarterback is. And those Hoboken teams were great in the mid to late 90s. And Stinson comes down to me and he goes, so what do you think? This is during the game.
Yeah.
I said, I'll tell you what I think, coach. I'd like to see you throw the football maybe.
Right.
He runs a little check down. Kid goes 75 yards. He turns to me and goes, I could have thrown that, Stinson. So Rashard Casey is not on the list.
Oh, man.
At number 7.
Okay.
And he is back home today. And I guess he's probably going to be in the locker room talking to the Golden Flashes of Sayville, our buddy Jack Cohn. What made him so good? Championship quarterback. He threw it better than anybody on Long Island. And maybe Brian Kelly and Tommy Reese should look at some of those old highlights because he ran the football then, too. Number 7, best I've ever seen.
That's fantastic. And, I mean, yeah, Jack is just, you know, what you see him doing at the college level. You know, I know all these Notre Dame guys out there, they're not happy with Jack, but I'm just telling you right now, it's not Jack, okay? So just look a little bit closer into the football game. All right, I know all you guys out there think you know football, but you don't, all right? So
thank you, Sims.
But, yeah, Jack Cohen, great quarterback.
And last week, Jackie stopped talking to me on Sunday last week because she said I was over the top watching the Notre Dame game. So we're working on things
now. We got to work on the blood pressure for those games.
Okay,
no doubt.
At number 6. Now, Steve Levy, when he came to Bosco, he kind of set it up as high school quarterback
Right.
All right? He's not on the list.
Damn, that
hurts. At number 6, Mike Teal. And I always said the thing that I liked about Mike the best was in that state championship game when he threw five interceptions.
Right.
And he had to make a throw at the end. And he hit a 17-yard wide side comeback route.
Yeah.
And they iced the game. You were on that team.
No doubt.
Mike Teal, number six. And he went to the league, cup of coffee in the league.
Yeah, great quarterback. And, I mean, I still think he holds just about every record in passing at Rutgers, you know, to this day. But, yeah, fantastic football player. Big, strong, you know, can throw the ball extremely well. He was actually taught by Big Phil, too. So he was, like, one of the first Sims Complete QB guys before we even knew we were doing this. So, yeah, it's just a great dude, you know, great family, and glad to see him on the list.
I thought potentially another Bosco quarterback could go at the five spot. I didn't go with Gary Nova.
Okay.
I went with Matt Sims.
Oh, well, thank you.
Now, here's the thing about Sims. On this list, he may have thrown it better than any of them in high school as far as velocity.
I don't know who's on this list.
You
but
don't
I'm the
know
best
yet.
Thrower out of all of them. So.
As a thrower, you were, but you were a little nutty.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Right?
That's fair.
Like the difference between you and your brother, if Chris would throw an interception, now he only threw four senior year, 25 touchdowns, four interceptions.
Yeah.
He'd let it go. You'd go nuts.
I guess so. I don't know.
You don't remember?
No, I guess not.
But you could throw, man. Those two throws against Seton Hall Prep, I remember we had camera in the end zone.
I threw three picks in that game, too.
Did you really?
Yeah.
But must have been in the other end zone.
No one remembers because I threw for 350 and three touchdowns after that. So,
like, I felt like Steve Sable from NFL Films with the way the ball was just ripping into the lens of Roy Pokorny.
No doubt.
So Sims at five. Here you go. This is going to surprise you.
Okay.
Okay? Early 2000s at Shelton High School, Dan Orlovsky. Was phenomenal. I saw him as a sophomore when I went to talk
to him. Dan Orlovsky is ahead of me.
Is ahead of you, Sims.
Unbelievable.
Okay.
I quit the show.
Oh, come on, Sims. Deal with it. I told you we might hurt your feelings
a little bit
here. I loved Orlovsky.
Yeah.
I told him after that game sophomore year, I said, get yourself up to one of those college quarterback camps and you'll break onto the scene. And he did. And I'll give him huge props to this day. Was recruited by everybody up the Eastern Seaboard.
Right.
He decided to stay home, went to UConn, built that program for a while until Randy Edsall destroyed it by leaving to Maryland and then coming back for the money grab. At number three.
Good for you, Dan.
At number three, you're going to love this guy.
Okay.
When everybody talked about Kevin Olsen at Wayne Hills, I kept going on and on. There's a dude over there at Elizabeth High School, and Gene Golda was the first one who told me about him when he saw him as a freshman, my old assistant on the high school show. He said, watch out for this kid, P.J. Walker.
Yeah, man.
Unbelievable player. Started 48 games in high school. Started, I think, 46 games at Temple. Yep. I'm going to see him tomorrow going down to visit Katie. Going to watch the Panthers play. He's on the Panthers roster.
Yeah, P.J. is a fantastic player as well, too. Also worked with Big Phil back in the day, which is funny as hell. But, yeah, fantastic football player. Can really throw it. Just a really good awareness of the game. And just, again, another good dude, really. You know, and that's the thing that I think is the common trend with this list so far, right? It's just, like, good people, right, that work hard and are old school. P.J. Walker, extremely talented football player, and that's why he's the backup for the Carolina Panthers right now.
This next guy, I would get to games an hour and a half early when they would come out kind of just in shorts and T-shirts because I love to listen to the ball whistle.
Oh, my God.
Chris Sims, the lefty.
Yeah.
At number two. Now, I've always said this, and anybody knows me.
Right.
I always said I would never see a better high school quarterback than Chris Sims. If you take full body of work as a four-year starter, Chris is the best. But if you go senior year, my number one quarterback, Brandon Wimbush, St. Peter's Prep, before he went to South Bend and Brian Kelly ruined him.
Yeah, it's amazing because the game, my brother and I went to the state championship game when St. Peter's was playing. Why can't I remember who they were playing that game? Brandon Wimbush, senior year.
2014, Paramus Catholic.
Paramus Catholic, correct.
Uh-huh.
We saw him play rainy game in the stadium. Played unbelievable the way that he was throwing the ball and just single-handedly dominating the football game, running it and throwing it. Super impressive football player. And I think that's why we were both disappointed with the career that he had with Brian Kelly. And I think that's the reason why, too, you have a certain way that you feel about Brian Kelly.
Because
now you're seeing Wimbush and Jack going through similar things, too, as well.
That's why I'm hoping Steve Angeli. I shouldn't say this, but that's why I'm hoping he doesn't go there.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Catholic
quarterback. That's an amazing comment to say don't go to Notre Dame. But at the same time, Brandon Wimbush, fantastic football player. And really enjoyed watching him play with the limited time that I saw him play. But every time I watched him play, you know, he's one of those players you just can't take your eyes off him. You know, and he was really entertaining to see him play, even though he was a St. Peter's quarterback. All right. It was pretty awesome. So,
all right, Sim. So I think you handled it well. In my eyes.
I can't believe that. Was I five?
You were five. I mean, Brandon Wimbush, one. Chris Sims, two. PJ Walker, three. Dan Orlovsky, four. Matt Sims, five. Mike Teal, six. Jack Cohn, seven.
And I don't appreciate your comment that I was a little crazy, okay?
I apologize. You were a lot crazy. We'll be back with the picks after this.
I had cojones.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Now back to the Jets High School Football Hour. Here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.
Five, Michael?
Relax, Sims. Hold on a second. We'll get to it. The High School Football Show on 98.7 ESPN is presented by All American Ford and Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Call or shop online at allamericanford.net. Sims and I had a wonderful relationship until we went to break right there. It was pretty heated. Right now, his least favorite number is five because that's where I put you, and you are not happy with me at all.
No, I'm okay with it.
No,
I'm
you're
okay.
not. Come on, talk to me like it was the commercial, Sims.
Of course I'm disappointed. I mean, if you're a competitor, it's like, yo, bro, I'm number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I'm
it's me.
One.
Does it really matter if it's coming from me?
No, it doesn't, because you don't know anything, so I'm okay with it.
But
so.
Nobody in the tri-state has seen all of these people in person.
That's true. So that's a credit to you, too, as well.
Should Gary Nova be on the list?
Listen, almost every Don Bosco that was there when Nunzio Campanelli was there should potentially be on the list.
Well, you know, every quarterback Nunz coached, he said, was going to win the Heisman Trophy, right?
Well, and the thing is, like, this is what we've discussed multiple times before this as well. I love this Rocky music, by the way. Thank you. Okay, yo, Adrian, all right? You like turtles? He's a great coach, and all of the quarterbacks that he coached were all state and state champions. They really were. All right, and it's unbelievable. And that's why, like, hey, when we're talking about players poorly, right, on TV and, mm-hmm. like, oh, this guy stinks, mm-hmm. just see the bigger picture. All I'm saying is that, right? See the bigger picture. You know, Tom Brady is the GOAT, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But there's no, you know, there's a huge coincidence to me with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and how he got his start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sixth-round draft pick by the Patriots. He's drafted by a lot of other teams. I don't know. You know, he's drafted by the Cleveland Browns. We might not even know who the hell he is. So coaching is a huge part of it, and that's why I'm very thankful that I was coached by Iron Men at Don Bosco when I was there.
You know who's a huge Notre Dame fan? My buddy Tim Delane, old Central Catholic guy from North Connecticut, picking up bagels, loves listening to Sims. I don't know if Delane's a Brian Kelly guy. If he is, I'm done with Tim Delane.
Well,
Monty, give it to
bagel,
me. Here we
bro.
Go. Last week, you did not have the guts. Oh, let's change that because you're now a coach of Don Bosco.
You couldn't pick
Bosco.
You can't say that anymore.
I picked Del Barton. I was 0-1. I picked St. Joe's, and you picked St. Joe's, which was shocking to people up there in Montvale that Sims actually picked St. Joe's. We both won that.
Yeah.
Yassine Willis was terrific, the sophomore. He ran for 149 of the 220 yards.
I'm just telling you right now, that's an NFL football player.
No
I mean,
doubt.
I shouldn't say that bluntly, but like, he's a Division I football player. He really is.
Okay, and you foolishly picked St. Anthony's, and Stepanak had the big comeback, so we both lost that one. So for the week, Sims, Coach Sims, 1-1, the Wizard, 1-2 on the season. Coach Sims, 10-4, the Wizard, 13-6. All right, Monty, switch it up. Here we go, Sims.
I'm getting some ground.
Okay, take your coach hat off now. Be a prognosticator. All right?
Yeah.
By the way, when I leave this game, I'm not going to pick this first game I mentioned. I am racing up to St. Joe's for the big freshman game. 6-0 Bergen Catholic, Dominic Campanelli, Vito's kid, who has thrown 16 touchdown passes this year on the freshman level, taking on a St. Joe's team that wants to grind it out, but I've heard they can throw it a little bit. I will not pick that game, but we will talk about that game next
week. I'll
pick it. You will?
Yeah.
Go, Sims.
Bergen. Done.
Sims picks Bergen. Okay, I will not pick it.
I need to gain another game up. So.
Okay, here we go. The big boy edition on the corner of Forest and Oradell, 1 p.m. What do we know about Bergen Catholic? We know they're very good defensively.
Solid football team.
But technically, and I'm not trying to take shots here, but when you're Bergen Catholic and you play Pope John and Paramus Catholic on back-to-back weeks, it's a very difficult thing to do because you don't want to embarrass, you don't get full efficiency for four quarters. So Are they going to come in rusty against St. Joe's today?
I could also see it in the aspect as well that, like, now guys that maybe haven't been playing as much got more game experience, and now that gives them a chance to have more depth to their team. So you could see it from that perspective.
Right, should John Germano be on the list for Bergen Catholic in the top seven?
Oh, man. That's...
Yes or no?
As long as I stay there.
Today, I think St. Joe's... It comes down to this. Can the St. Joe's offensive line, who's been playing better, match up against the BC defensive line? I think St. Joe's hangs around for a while. Who do you like?
Bergen Catholic.
I like Bergen Catholic, too. All right, let's go to Del Barton, Seton Hall Prep. Seton Hall Prep, this is a must-win game.
Definitely.
You want to stay out of the 4-5 game.
Yep.
Del Barton is struggling. They've only scored 17 points the last 2 weeks. Who do you like, Sims?
Seton Hall defense is pretty tough. They're scrappy. I'm taking Seton Hall.
I like the Pirates to go to 6-1.
Let's go
over to New Rochelle. Iona Prep hosting Cardinal Hayes. Ooh. Iona Prep is averaging 36 points per game. Cardinal Hayes, up until two games ago, was allowing 41. The last two games, a loss and a win, the defense has allowed just 16 points. Who do you like, Sims?
I'm taking Iona. Even though, you know, I got Henry Bielan on one sideline and Rich Bielan as well, and then a Johnny Shepherd on the other, but I'm taking Iona in this game.
Last year in the COVID-shortened season, they did not play. Both teams were undefeated, so they've been waiting for this.
That was the game. COVID ruined that game for sure. That would have been a great matchup.
On paper, this game is a blowout. But as Tony Karsich once said during the Crusade, games aren't played on paper. Cardinal Hayes doesn't have to win today, but they have to show up. Otherwise, Iona Prep rolls through the postseason. This game is going to be a lot closer than people think. I like Iona Prep, but Cardinal Hayes is going to play them tough. Real fast, Sayville or East Islip out in Suffolk County, the best offenses on Long Island.
Sayville.
I like Sayville, too. It's homecoming, and they're playing on grass.
This is the Jets High School Football Hour, fueled by Gatorade. Now here's Mike Quick and Matt Sims.